Chapter 8. All her life, people had told Talisa Nkosi that her extraordinary manual dexterity meant she had a bright future. She'd go far, they said, do fascinating things and meet lots of interesting people. To date, her bright future had come about in the darkness of space. Anchor Point was the farthest she'd ever been from home, although discovering it wasn't much different than any other space station had been. Kind of a letdown. The fascinating jobs were always some kind of detail work done under a microscope, using tools she had to operate by remote control because even with her dexterity, anything too small to see with the naked eye was also too small to feel, let alone manipulate. Not that she was unhappy to be the first one called in to connect microscopic objects A and B, or to detach the extremely minuscule C from D, or to graft foreign microbe X onto molecular chain Y to catalyze process Z. For her birthday, her co-workers had given her a complex chain of molecules she could use to sign her handiwork whenever she was permitted to do so, which, sadly, was never. Nkosi had indeed met plenty of interesting people, although the vast majority were assistants from a rota of jacks, as in jack of all trades, workers with a broad range of work experience but without a degree or certification in any particular field. Most were newly adult, trying out different kinds of work in search of a career. There were also a good number of people not so new to adulthood, like Nkosi's current jack du jour. Miller was older than she was, sharp-witted and more easygoing than his slightly craggy features made him appear. Nkosi thought he was far too knowledgeable to be a jack-of-all-trades when he could have mastered any of them. As curious as Nkosi was about his status, however, she didn't ask. If she offended him, he might refuse to work with her, and she didn't want to lose him. He was quick on the uptake, not given to pointless chatter, and able to assist her and manage the data without falling into a boredom fugue, even when the work was so tedious that she could have dozed off herself. That wouldn't be a problem with today's job. The lab hadn't told her much, just that a general scan had picked up the presence of a previously unknown alien contaminant in an unprecedented state. Translation? We found some weird shit that's acting strange and it's making us nervous. A lot of the weird shit that acted strange turned out to be a spill by an inexperienced lab tech who'd forgotten to wear gloves to clean it up. Other times, it was a case of mistaken identity by an inexperienced lab tech, and even on occasion, the odd practical joke. Inexperienced lab techs made irresistible targets. She'd shown up expecting a variation on the same disappointment until they told her the weird shit was acting strange on the Sulaco's cargo deck. Then she hadn't been able to get her biohazard suit on fast enough. She'd been so eager to get her gloved hands on the stuff, it didn't occur to her until much later that they hadn't asked if she and Miller had any questions or concerns beforehand. They arrived at the Sulaco to find the cargo deck fully enclosed in a transparent quarantine bubble with airlock-style entry. The weird shit in question was located in the bottom half of a synthetic. Its top half was officially missing, and would remain so until there was hard evidence that it had been destroyed. The legs were twisted and broken, but interestingly, to Nkosi at least, they contained a fair amount of still liquid artificial blood. If the unknown alien contaminant had kept it from drying out into powder, she had no idea how. For once, unprecedented hadn't been laboratory hyperbole for the sake of getting priority status for the investigation. This was quite the plum assignment, and Nkosi was surprised they'd tapped her for it. Steady hands or not, she didn't have as much seniority as Tully or Spence or the Castavet twins. Just before she entered the cargo deck, her supervisor, Tatsumi, let it drop that she was the only tech on Anchor Point who had experience with an unknown alien contaminant outside the controlled conditions of the laboratory. Tatsumi had said it casually, as if it were no big deal, but it made Nkosi uneasy. There wasn't supposed to be just one of anybody or anything on a space station. When she asked how this could have happened, he had just shrugged it off as chance. Or in the vernacular, shit happens. Which left her holding the bag. Or rather, the legs. Either way, it made her nervous. By contrast, Miller was his usual unflappable self. He went about his work with characteristic efficiency, setting up monitors and recording equipment, cleaning her micro-goggles before she asked, and then fitting them to her head in exactly the right place so they wouldn't slide around every time she raised her eyebrows. He even cleaned tools for her as they worked, simply because he knew it was her preferred routine. Small courtesies were so underrated, Nkosi thought, and made a mental note to put a gold star in his file as he cut away the synth's trousers for her. Miller had also laid out the specialized scalpels she used for artificial tissue and arranged them by size. She was about to take the smallest, then decided to go up two sizes. Synthetics attached to active duty military had denser muscles than those in less physically demanding positions. Judging by how hard it was to slice his thigh, this one had been due for flexibility therapy. Instead, he'd been dismembered by who the fuck knew what. She wondered what had become of the rest of him. The grapevine had offered little information, which was really strange. People on space stations craved gossip more than chocolate. The shipping lanes Anchor Point served were for long-haul travel. Since there was no such thing as a good surprise in interstellar space, a schedule had to be laid out in advance and adhered to without deviation as a matter of life and death. The unscheduled arrival of any spacecraft was the kind of capital E event that should have sent the Anchor Point rumor mill into high gear. The air itself should have been crackling with wild speculation. Instead, no one had a word to say. That was also some pretty weird shit acting strangely, Nkosi thought, as she worked the scalpel through the tough, artificial thigh muscle. She managed to cut out 5 samples before her hand started cramping. Flexing her fingers, she sat back on her heels and pushed her goggles up on her forehead. "Everything coming through okay?" she asked Miller. He looked at the flexi screen strapped to his wrist, then at the larger one beside him on the deck.
"Perfect. No noise whatsoever."
"Great." She wiggled her fingers. "This synthetic's really tough, like a 100-year-old racehorse in peak condition."
"Yeah, the military ones get downright gamey."
Miller startled her by taking her hand, turning it palm down and massaging the area between her thumb and forefinger, moving inward from the edge for about 10 seconds.
"How's that?" he asked her.
"Damn." Nkosi flexed her fingers. "It doesn't work that well when I do it."
"That's because you can't use both hands."
Miller looked pleased with himself.
"You're right. Who knew?"
Laughing a little, Nkosi lowered her goggles and bent over the synthetic's legs again. She increased the magnification, then took it up another 2 levels.
"You see this, right?" she asked Miller.
"The screen is showing smooth black globules that seem to be rooted in android blood," Miller replied. "If that's what you see, then yes, I see it too."
"Okay, good," she said. "I just hope anyone else who sees this doesn't ask me to explain it."
Synthetic blood had been designed not to interact or combine with anything organic, to prevent undesirable substances from damaging artificial persons or even just hitching a ride to a human host. Common wisdom said human and alien biology would be incompatible, but as humans had discovered, most biological systems had some degree of kinship, even if the owners didn't breathe air or, for that matter, anything. Nkosi had been trained to treat any alien material as a source of contamination until proven otherwise. She hadn't expected to find anything like that at Anchor Point. The biolab inventory contained no exotic substances, just organics familiar to everyone. Even the diseases were ordinary, with well-established procedures to follow in case of exposure, unlike the weird shit she was looking at now. Studying the smooth, shiny surface of the globules, Nkosi saw it wasn't an illusion. They really were rooted in the synthetic blood, which was supposed to be impossible for organic material. Quite often, alien material found in or out of a lab appeared inorganic to human eyes. In some cases, it required a great deal of testing to identify it as organic, which was crucial. The field of xenobiology was full of stories about the sharp-eyed lab tech who spotted something everyone else had missed and narrowly averted a genocide or even an extinction.
Like her colleagues, Nkosi still secretly hoped to do something that heroic. What she didn't want to do was discover that a substance was lethal by leaving it out in a jar with the lid off. Increasing the magnification another 5 levels gave the surfaces an uneven, bumpy texture. It wasn't enough to let her see any molecular bonding, but she could almost visualize it now. All she had to do was go to maximum magnification, and she'd be the first person ever to see something previously thought to be impossible. If she could bring herself to do it, that was. She wasn't sure this was something she wanted to look at, which was not how the scientific method worked. Taking a breath, she jumped the magnification all the way. The smooth globules were now all jagged edges. She was about to extend the microprobe from her glove when something caught her attention. "Hey, Miller? We're recording, right?" she asked, blinking at the globules.
"You know it. Nothing on the clock is off the record."
"Good thing," she said, a bit shakily. "Because I swear I saw a piece of this weird shit move by itself."
"That's weird, even for the weirdest weird shit," Miller said.
Nkosi had a sudden urge to drop everything, run for the airlock, and spend the next 24 hours submerged in a decontamination bath. If weird shit could bond to artificial blood, it could grab onto anything, and all bets were off. Nothing was safe from it, nothing and no one. Despite that, despite everything, her hands were still steady. She told Miller she was taking a sample as she extended the probe and prodded until she found the point of bonding. It took a lot of careful pushing and poking while she made sure her probe hadn't drifted from the target, but she finally pried a sample of the alien material free from the blood. "Incoming," she said as she withdrew the probe. Miller had a sterile tube ready, and she ejected the sample from the tip of the probe. "Bullseye." She exhaled in a rush, sitting back on her heels and pushing her goggles up on her forehead again. Miller sealed the tube, tucked it into a metal canister, then wrote a number on the side with a red grease pencil. Nkosi couldn't help smiling. It was such a retro thing to do. All the Jacks had little quirks.
"So," he said as he put the canister into an open case beside him, "since when do androids get infections?"
"Dunno." Nkosi dipped her head noncommittally. "Something really bad got to this poor bastard."
"How many more samples does the lab want?"
"As many as possible," she told him. "They wouldn't be any more specific." Miller gave a short, humorless laugh.
"I reckon that'll be 6 more than whatever we give them."
"That's their problem," Nkosi sighed. "Might as well finish up while we're young."
"While you're young," Miller said. "Too late for me,"